Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Moonin. You all right? I hope you had a good weekend. I had a great weekend. Hope all you guys were kept safe and had a good one. Okay, it's Monday. Bank holiday Monday, isn't it? Someone in the chat said it a moment ago. I was like, oh, yeah. Here at Low Seaters, we don't do bank holidays. Well, we do Christmas Day and Boxing Day and New Year's Day. Other than that. Now, because the algorithm doesn't care. YouTube doesn't recognise UK bank holidays particularly. So we don't. Yeah, bank holiday. I didn't even realise. Until just then. But okay. Those who try and predict what colour blazer I'm going to wear. Boom, out of nowhere, brown blazer. Brought out of retirement. Nobody saw that coming. All right, I am joined by my producer, like most mornings, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, we're good.
He's all good. So we're all good. Everything's okay then. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, and it is now 1 minute past 8 in the AM, British summertime, on Monday the 31st of August, in the year of our Lord, 2026. But that's quite enough faffing about, isn't it? More than enough fannying around for one morning. Let's just get straight into it. This show's supposed to be about what is in the news cycle. What's the legacy corporate lamestream media banging on about this morning? Are they trying to tell us it is or isn't important? What are they lying to us about by omission, if by nothing else? What have we got here? All right. What's Fleet Street talking about? It's a cabal of evil, quite frankly evil, Fleet Street editors trying to beam directly into our brain boxes. We've got Killers blocked from early release. Good, the bare minimum. Just those killers of PC Harper, though, not loads of other killers. And Harry should fund security. Yeah, Harry, you really need to fund your security. Not little Harry, of course. Harry Windsor, we're talking about. All right, let's get into it. The Times, the venerable Times. Yeah, so the sons of one of those cops, not PC Harper, one of the cops that was killed in that head-on collision in Middlesbrough, was a big Man United fan. And his sons, like, he'd taken his sons to see Man United and stuff. And so now they got his two sons to be mascots at Man United, at a Man United game. And loads of the papers are going with that. Look, there's that picture. The same picture. Not the exact same picture, but a picture of that. Picture of that there. Picture of that there. Picture of that. Again, the cabal have decided we're going to go with, put that on the front page. Okay, well, not that I'm drawing attention to the papers. The nature of the cabal of these papers, not anything to do with these boys, of course, these poor little boys. They haven't got a father now. No shade on them or that they got to be mascots at their favourite football club. Good. It's not even a consolation, is it? I just draw attention to it because whoever controls all of Fleet Street obviously said to them, you're all going with this. Here's a picture or two of that. You're all printing that now. Go. Be good goys and do as you're told. Right. Early release blocked for manslaughter prisoners. PC Andrew Harper's killers to stay behind bars, but thousands of criminals eligible to be let out. It's one of the main stories today. Yeah. So the ones that are the killers, two of the three killers of PC Andrew Harper, they won't get early release because there's been such a hornet's nest stirred up in the press about it. But loads of others that the media hasn't focused on, they'll still all be let out. Thousands of them. Zulu sighted to the southwest, sir. Thousands of them. My colour sergeant born there, if anyone doesn't know. I haven't just gone mad. Zulu? Anybody? No? Do you know the film Zulu, Harry?
I know of it.
But you haven't seen it?
No.
Kids these days haven't even seen Zulu. What's the world coming to? I'm only joking, mate. Don't worry about it. It's not your fault. I'm only joking. I got long form content, actually. I did an epox all about the film Zulu and the film Zulu Dawn and the history of the real Zulu Wars. All in one long form bit of content there, if you're interested in that. Okay. You can't beat a weekend lie-in to help your heart. A couple of different papers went with this story, saying that, yeah, have a lie-in at the weekend, and it helps with, like, blood pressure, and ultimately, just, like, the health of your heart, and, you know, having a heart attack, ultimately, and stuff. Yeah, I mean, endless sleep deprivation isn't good for your health, is it? You're just constantly in a state of sleep deprivation. They needed cutting edge research to tell you that, did they? All right. The Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. Just Zionist propaganda now. Anti-British, anti-white Zionist propaganda owned by Germans. Is that not a fair characterization of what it is? That's exactly what it is. Yep. Try and denigrate and destroy anyone that's remotely patriotic or nativist. Go after the likes of Restore and Reform. For talking about what might need to be done to save our country from demographic decline and a sectarian nightmare along racial, religious and tribal lines. Can't talk about that according to the Daily Telegraph. You'd be a Nazi or something if you even talked about stuff like that. That's the Telegraph for you now. Burnham to free high-risk criminals. Brilliant. PC Harper's killers stay in jail, but inmates deemed a danger to society will be released. Thanks, Labour. Thanks, Pinkos. Thanks for that. Well done. Thanks, Fabian Society. Well done. Your mission of trying to destroy the very fabric of our society is coming on leaps and bounds. Well done. You're doing a great job from your point of view. Yeah. Okay. Tugendhat, as Tom Tugendhat, a Tory politician, to replace Patel, Preeti Patel, Dame Preeti Patel, in Tory reshuffle. Okay, here's a bit of a story. Some real politics. When Parliament comes back, is it later this week or is it next week? It's relatively soon anyway. Apparently, Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian anchor baby, somehow bizarrely finds herself LARPing as the leader of the opposition, says she's going to do a reshuffle in her shadow government, in the opposition. James Cleverly is out. Womp womp. James Cleverly, who really should be brought to prosecution for his crimes against the people and the state. Being responsible as Home Secretary for us being flooded by murderers and rapists. He's out. He says he's not even going to run at the next general election for his seat in Braintree. Cleverly. But also it looks like Patel is out. Also someone who would be right at the top of my list in any sort of Truth and Reconciliation Commission to find out exactly who was responsible for all the biblical crimes against this nation. Preeti Patel. All the Tory Prime Ministers and Home Secretaries would be brought to account, if it was up to me. For treason, basically. You have to bring back the treason law that Tony Blair suspiciously got rid of. Did he somehow know that he was going to commit treason? And so got rid of the treason laws. And those that followed him, of course. Yeah, so Tugendhat is to replace Patel in Tory reshuffle. I wonder if Patel will, Olukemi Badenoch will just give Preeti Patel another role in the shadow government, or whether she's out entirely. I don't know whether Olukemi Badenoch has got the idea that people don't want those Theresa May, particularly the Theresa May and Boris Johnson era ministers back in government. Wonder if she's got the picture. Get the picture. I wonder if she has finally understood that or not. Whether it's just a little... Priti Patel is going to be reshuffled somewhere else. Because she's currently the Shadow Foreign Secretary. Okay. A little bit of a bump up for Tugendhat and a little bit of a demotion for Patel one way or another. Okay. AI bubble is a threat to global economy, warns bank chief. It's a threat in a number of ways, isn't it? Obviously. The counter arguments, whenever I talk about AI being a threat on various levels, the arguments coming back at me are increasingly weak, it seems to me. Increasingly weak source. John Bolton. The CIA's Moscow visit was pure Trump theatre. Just shut up, John Bolton. Just slink off into obscurity now, John Bolton. Go on. Bugger off. He won't. It probably was a theatre in some ways, but I'm just not interested in hearing from John Bolton. You know, he pleaded guilty. I had to look that up this morning when I was like, oh, John Bolton's got an op-ed in the Tory graph. Just check in with his trial. He pleaded guilty in June. That passed me by. I don't remember that being on the front pages anywhere at all, or even in the minor stories. Maybe it happened at a weekend and it just passed me by, I don't know. But yeah, because John Bolton was up on charges, loads of charges. I think like 10, 15, 18 different charges of breaking the law. Publishing state secrets, basically. He wrote a book, didn't he? John Bolton wrote a book where he talked about his time in the first Trump administration and lots of other things. And in that book, he released, I don't think they were particularly sensitive bits of secret information, like the exact blueprints of the US's most cutting edge nuclear submarine. Not that, but nonetheless, stuff that was supposed to be kept secret. And John Bolton would have signed a thing saying, I will not release this information. And then he did in a book. He was up on charge. A grand jury was impaneled to look into it. And in June, he just pled guilty. To it all. You know, if the judge wanted to throw the book at him, could give him loads, could give him 10, 20, 30 years, whatever. But almost certainly won't. Probably made some sort of deal, doesn't he? You plead guilty and we'll give you a slap on the wrist. That's probably what's happened. He'll be sentenced in October, I believe, towards the end of October. Well, I'll be looking out for that one. I hate John Bolton. Anyone who knows who John Bolton is? Just a really, really obnoxious war hawk. Really obnoxious. All right, he's done an op-ed in the Telegraph. Right, don't care. What else have we got? The Mail. Pure globalist slot, pretending it isn't sometimes. More dangerous criminals set to be freed early. Stalkers and abusers on indefinite sentences up for release. As Labour ministers tell Mail, Burnham is not focused on risk. Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? In the Telegraph. You know, they say, you know, same thing. More dangerous criminals to be released. As Burnham is not focused on risk. How can he not be? How could you? Oh, my God. My God. What a scumbag. What is he focused on then instead? Ideology. He's focused on the criminals and their well-being. Right. You've got to be out of your mind to be a leftist, haven't you? To be a globalist. You've got to be perverse. You've got to have all sorts of, like, your moral compass is all wrong. Won't someone think of the stalkers and abusers and rapists and murderers and terrorists? Won't someone think of their poor plight? And let them out early? You mad? Right, the Telegraph. I'm sorry, the Guardian. Ooh. The Guardian. The Guardian, absolutely sickening. Sickening pinko slop. Communist slop. Seditious. It's seditious. The Guardian. I would love it if their readership truly fell through the floor to the point where they didn't publish anything anymore. I'd consider shutting them down in Bowes Britain. Really, really, really would. Oh, that's very authoritarian. Yeah, fine. Whatever. Don't care. How many years have they been ruining the discourse in this country? Breeding a generation or more of socialists and champagne socialists. Revolting. Burnham keeps PC killers in jail, but fears grow over prison capacity. Still, right? Gonna let them let loads of guys out, but also the prisons are still full. Could deport the 10,000 or so foreign nationals that are in our country, in our prisons. No real talk of that. Might have to leave the ECHR to do something like that. Labour's not interested in that. They want to destabilise the country. There's no other conclusion you can come to. They're not accidentally doing these things. They're not accidentally carrying out policy after policy after policy whose net result is the destruction of our society. A once high trust, low crime society turned upside down. Not accidentally doing that. It's all by design. Oh, the Notting Hill Carnival. Disgusting. Can you imagine the smell? That's pure subversion as well. That's a pure display of dominance. The Notting Hill Carnival. I'd stop that. I'd stop that right in its tracks. And you're not having that anymore. No, it costs the police loads and people get stabbed up every time. No, you're not having that. Imposed Britain. We're ending that. Iceland says no restart of talks to join the EU. Interesting. Iceland, the way the EU, pro-EU types do it, is that if you aren't a member of the European country and you aren't a member of the EU, they'll just keep trying to bombard you with votes whether you want to join or not. Or if you do leave, they'll keep trying to bombard you with votes. Do you want to rejoin? Do you want to... That's what they do. Just endless pressure. Join or rejoin. Do you want to? Do you want to? Until they get the vote they want. And then they don't want any more referendums on it ever again. Pretty straightforward. Pretty clear. Iceland. Good on them. Good on Iceland. Says no. They're pro-EU faction in their politics. Got enough pressure to do a referendum on whether just like even just talks to rejoin the EU should begin. 52.8% of Icelanders said no thanks. Yeah, no thank you. Why would any country in its right mind want to be ruled from a foreign city, whether it's Brussels or Strasbourg, whatever? What your laws, your rules, and your rulings and judgments supersede ours in our country? No thanks, pass. We don't often don't really get a vote on who the people are that do that. We might return an MEP or two, but don't necessarily have any input on the judges that sit in Strasbourg. And they're going to tell us what we can or can't do, what we can or can't print or say or think even sometimes. Yeah, no, pass. Europe. Ugh. I would love it if the AFD or National Rally got in Germany and France and one or either of them left Europe, crippling that project, that globalist open borders anti-European bizarrely project. I would love it if we beat them. Right, the mirror, something about Kylie. She's knocking on a bit, Kylie, isn't it? I mean, she looks good for her age, but, like, just... Kylie. The Zoomers care about Kylie? Little Harry?
Not much. No, I don't think so.
Right. Yeah. Wasn't she in Neighbours in the 1980s? Has she not had a hit for, like, 10 years or more? Kylie. I always fancied Danny Minogue over Kylie Minogue anyway, so. Right. Justice for lost loved ones. Killers told, you'll do your time. Just these two, though. thousands of others will be let out. Victims' relief as early release is blocked for lags who took a life. PM's pledge to deport foreign criminals to tackle prison crisis. Believe it when I see it. Believe it when I see it. Because even if he tries, there'll be some judge who says, no, under the ECHR, you can't do that. And then the government, whether it's the Prime Minister or the Home Office, just go, oh, well, we tried. How many years of that do we have to go through? Home Secretary is going to get tough on XYZ. PM promises XYZ. Judge says no. Oh, well, back to the drawing board. Another 2 years, 3 years have gone by. Could leave the ECHR? No. La, 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 we're not leaving the ECHR, though. La, 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 we're not doing that. So round and round we go. It's all pretty out in the open and obvious, isn't it? It's not like a real mystery. It's not really a mystery why we're flooded by foreign people and won't deport them. Okay, the Star. Star front and centre with those... the sons of that killed cop. There he is, look, in the Man United game with one of his sons. Now they're mascots for the day. Very, very sad, isn't it? There you go. The Star decides that is the most important thing. The most important thing. Celebrating Notting Hill. Yeah. Is it something to celebrate? Not if you're a native. It's not. I would just end that carnival. With extreme prejudice, if needs be. The Sun. Their sloppy Joe for the day is the same thing. Same thing. Isn't it weird that the cabal on Fleet Street has got dominance over the tabloidy ones, like the Mirror, the Sun, the Star, and the more old school, used to be, broadsheet ones, like the Telegraph and the Mail. About that umbrella, whatever that is, covers all of them. Every now and again, I suppose they'll let one of the other papers. You don't have to go with this picture or this story today, just to give the impression that we're not full spectrum dominance of the cabal. Speaking of which, the I paper, usually be the I paper, won't it? Or the FT. Harry should pay for security costs in UK, says 2/3 of public in poll, just their own internal poll. Overwhelming majority opposes taxpayer-funded security for Sussexes, that's Prince Harry and his obnoxious wife, Meghan, who returned to Britain from California last week. Poll for the iPaper reveals that 63% of Britons think Harry and Meghan should pay for the measures privately. Yeah. Royal and VIP Executive Committee, RAVEC, understood to be planning review of their claim for state-funded protection. Harry accuses committee head of failing to inform him about Al-Qaeda threat and wants intervention from Home Secretary. Does he? See, he's barely back a week and already he's complaining about committees, government committees, and insisting the Home Secretary does something or other. Ugh. Yuck. If you're so worried about security, just largely stay at home. How about that? Stay on your massive royal estates largely. How about that? Travel within the confines of an existing royal entourage that's got security. Pay for it yourself. There's a number of things you could do. Ask Elton to pay for it. Something. Well, you're paying for it for yourself in California, weren't you? Yeah, you were, yeah. So he's able to do it there. But now you realise, oh, Muggins over here, the British taxpayer, they might pay for it, so we'll just try and rinse them if we can. Piss takers. Absolute piss takers. Ugh. The Financial Times. Cold shoulder Iceland rejects talks with EU. Yeah, good, great, lovely. something about big tech and AI. I can't be bothered. I'm not interested. No, well, I can't be bothered with all that nonsense. The Daily Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. Pretending to be right of centre or patriotic in any way. Remotely nationalist. Nope. Nope. Globalist, anti-British, anti-white slop in the final reckoning, when it comes to it. In the final reckoning, that's what they are. Try and destroy even like the most milquetoast reformers. The Express. Try and destroy the likes of even Nigel Farage and Richard Tyson, Zia Yusuf or whatever. Let alone anyone truly right-wing or to the right of them. That's the Express. That's who they are. Virginia, look at the state of this. Virginia Giuffre's teen sweetheart says ex-employees will want to protect former prince. I fear Andrew's staff won't cooperate with police. What kind of journalism is that? That's the front page, is it? Contemptible. Absolutely contemptible. And something about how brilliant the Notting Hill Carnival is. You get the picture, you get the idea, don't you, of what they are. What the Express is. Slop. Utter slop. All right. Then the increasingly absurd and frustrating, infuriating front pages from the British print media today. August bank holiday. All right. Should we have a look at our poll? We do a poll, don't we? I didn't tell Harry. I didn't instruct Harry what to do today. I said, little Harry, I said, you think of something, or perhaps ask the chat. We've done that a number of times, haven't we? Ask the chat, what poll would you like? You seem to moan about it a fair bit. Not all of you. You're the glorious band that chose a few of my band of brothers and sisters. Don't go. Don't leave me. But a few times we'll do a poll and people are like, oh, crap poll today. Well, the poll doesn't even make sense. Or we haven't phrased the poll very well. Whatever. So we ask you guys, don't we, sometimes? So let's see what it is. This is new to me. What have we got? I really don't know what it's going to say. Okay, there it is. We've asked you, what is your favourite inside joke on Breakfast with Beau? Cool. Bit meta there. What were your options? Your options were Eamon Holmes, Angela the Fridge Rainer, Big Bird, or the Metro and the Guardian, turning to the stain can. Doing the stain can thing. The Metro and the Guardian is absolutely revolting, sickening, literally stomach turning. It might make me actually puke. Yeah, what's your funniest one? That, me calling Angela Rayner, Angela the Fridge Rayner. She's 7 foot 2 and weighs 500 pounds. Got the exact silhouette of a fridge. She's silhouetted on the skyline at dusk. You'll think it's a fridge with a head on top of it. The exact silhouette of Big Bird from Sesame Street. You'll be like, what's Big Bird doing over there? Is that Big Bird from Sesame Street? Oh no, it's Angela Rayner. Or Eamon Holmes, where I once accidentally confused Eamon Holmes with Hugh Edwards. Started talking about the crimes of Hugh Edwards, but saying Eamon Holmes. Poor Ames, get well soon, Ames. That's probably the worst blooper. It's almost certainly the worst blooper I've done on Breakfast with Beau. People find it hilarious to joke about it to this day. That Eamon Holmes is guilty of things he obviously is not guilty of. So obviously had nothing to do with. Even things that happened hundreds of years ago. It was Eamon Holmes' fault. That inside joke. Okay, and the results are... Oh, Ames has it. 39% of you say Eamon Holmes is your favourite inside joke. It's not a bad one as far as inside jokes go. The Metro, the Guardian thing came second with 31%. And Andrew the Fridge Rainer is 29%. Some of you guys probably have got other ones that your favourite is not even one of those. One or two. That joke I sometimes do when the poll is like 3 or 4% or a small number percentage of people, they vote something that the vast majority of the Glorious Band, the Chosen Few, think, and I think, they've voted something different, and I pretend to be angry and go on, get out. It's a joke from, I'm ripping off Happy Gilmore. It's a joke from Happy Gilmore, isn't it? Go on, get out. Who needs you? Go on, bugger off. Don't go. I love you. I've seen a couple of people say that's their favourite joke. Anyway, there's a number of them now, aren't there? There's a good number of them. Anyway, out of those three, Ames wins. In all honesty, in all seriousness, no joking now, get well soon, Ames. I don't think he's in a good space. The last update I saw was that he's still not well. So all joking aside, the completely innocent Eamon Holmes, as far as we know, that's another joke people do. When I say that, Eamon Holmes is, obviously, let's be serious now, Eamon Holmes is completely innocent of any wrongdoing. People say, as far as you know. Okay, with that joke out of the way, get well soon, Ames. Get well soon, really. Seemed like a lovely guy, didn't he? Why am I talking about him in the past tense? Eamon Holmes seems like a lovely bloke, doesn't he? Is a lovely bloke, it seems. As far as we know. All right. Let's move on. Let's have a look at the price of crude. We check in on that, don't we, on the Bo Show about this time every day. If you was to buy or sell a barrel of West Texas, it costs you just shy of $85. If you was trying to buy some Brent crude, just shy of $91. They're real-time prices. Oh, yeah. Oh, look, it's just ticked down. Brent's just ticked down. Anyway. Remarkable, not that much higher than when this war started. I mean, it is a bit higher, but only to the tune of $5, $10 higher. Remarkable, really, considering the US and Iran trade strikes for the first time in weeks yesterday. Yeah. Oh, it's still on. It's becoming something of a forever war. I mean, that's a bit of an exaggeration, forever war. There's no such thing as an actual forever war, but there's no end in sight. Neither side have really got an off-ramp. Don't think the Iranians want an off-ramp particularly. And Mr. Trump and Marco Rubio and Pete Hegseth are struggling to find an off-ramp, aren't they? How can you stop this now? How does it end? Unless that regime does topple and collapse. You know, there was a big push from the US to increase loads of economic sanctions even further against Iran, even though their economy is almost non-existent and their currency is a complete farce, and they've been under like financial restrictions on them for years and years and years. I remember my first proper job at JP Morgan after I finished uni in the very, very early 2000s. Even then there was a list of countries that we're not allowed to deal with, like North Korea and Iran. Even then, like, anyone rings up and they say, I want to open an account with JP Morgan. I want to invest loads of money in sort of some sort of emerging markets fund or other, an OIC, a JP Morgan OIC in Japan or something. Oh, and here's the money. It's coming from an account, out their account, and it's in Iran. You'd be like, I'll just put you on hold for a minute if you don't mind. Put them through to a whole different team that deals with financial crime. That was going on 25 years ago or whatever. Anyway, even more restrictions financially on Iran. And, well, the story is, over the weekend, the Americans did a couple of precision strikes on some things on that Larak Island that's right in the Straits of Hormuz. Because they said, the Americans said, it was to do with the Iranians were trying to put more mines out, or they were anti-aircraft batteries or something. Anyway, the Americans struck those, and Iran struck back, shot a few missiles at a US base in Jordan. Apparently 8 missiles were shot at Jordan, but apparently Jordan intercepted them out of the sky. So just another tiny bit of tit for tat there. Doesn't really massively affect the price of crude. Isn't that remarkable? I mean, it does a bit, but The trading desks, the commodities trading desks across the world, see something like that. The US military blowing stuff up on Iranian territory. Iran shooting ballistic ordnance back at US assets in Jordan. And the crude oil commodities trading desks around the world go, no biggie. Whatever. Is what it is. Yeah, it happens. Remarkable. Kind of remarkable to me. All right. There's one other story I thought was of interest. I thought was really of interest today. Was an update on Middlesbrough, the Middlesbrough story. Because remember we talked about it. Where is it? I can't find it here. I think it's in the Sun as well. Oh, yeah. Terror Town. Inside, quote, totally lawless, quote, a state home of joyriders killed in crash with cops where gangs are rife, jobs scarce, and all hope lost. So I actually read quite a long article on the Daily Mail this morning, which finally gave us a bit more information, because if you remember, I had big Harry Robinson on the show on Friday, and even on Thursday, I was talking about what's going on here. The legacy corporate mainstream media are not really being clear enough with any detail of what's really going on. I'm not about to go to Middlesbrough personally and start doing investigative journalism and asking people on the streets. I'm not about to do that. Loadseaters aren't about to do that. But anyway, in the Mail, at least, there was quite a long article. Let me see if I can find it just while I keep talking to you. I can paraphrase it. They gave quite a lot more, well, a bit more information about it. And it's just basically rival drug gangs. I mean, you could probably have guessed, couldn't you? Rival drug gangs, or at least one big drug gang that's having a civil war with itself, is what they were largely reporting. I mean, it's a bit more than that, but it's basically some sort of civil war around drug... I was going to say cartel. It's not even a cartel, is it? But in Middlesbrough. But it's been going on for years. It's been going on for quite a while, they say. It was right here. Just to interrupt myself, Notting Hill Carnival arrest 169 on day one of festival. Revelers held over drugs, weapons and sex offences. Most years there are sex offences, if not full-blown rapes, and stabbings, sometimes homicides. Actual murders. So I would stop the Notting Hill Carnival. You're just not doing it anymore. This is just an excuse for you guys to go berserk for a few days. Nah. Stopping that. Great culture, by the way. It's supposed to be a celebration of your culture. Well, your culture of drugs, sex offences and murder. Great. Yeah, well done. Anyway, back to the Middlesbrough thing. It's really not showing it. It's annoying when they do that. The websites. They just reshuffle themselves. Well, you thought there was an article, now it's gone. All right, anyway. So I guess I'll just tell you, I'll just use my own words. Yeah, it's been going on for years, but it's been ramped up in the last couple of years, apparently. And one of the things these gangs do to each other is ram each other's homes. Right? That's a common thing, relatively common thing, in Middlesbrough, apparently. They know where you live. I mean, it's not a giant city, Middlesbrough, so everyone would know everyone else within that world, right? You find it's very easy to find out where so-and-so lives. And as a threat, as intimidation, they'll probably steal a car, they'll get a vehicle, it might be a van, and just drive it into your house. That's a common thing in Middlesbrough, apparently. Or burn your house down. Remember that house fire the other day where that woman in her 30s and that little 7-year-old girl were burnt to death in a house fire? Apparently all it was that the older woman in her 30s, her uncle, she was completely innocent, apparently, of anything, but her uncle is deeply involved in that world. He was like some sort of enforcer for one faction for this drugs crime gang, and he's currently in prison for like a 14 stretch. Like, he's deeply embroiled in all of that, but his niece, that woman, had nothing to do with it. Apparently she's completely innocent of any wrongdoing. Nonetheless, they knew it was his house in some way, connected to him in some way, so they burnt it down. It just so happened that she and that poor little 7-year-old girl were in the house and died. Burnt alive. Horrific. Horrific. And that it's all connected, in a sense, in a broader sense. Like, not necessarily one is the cause and effect of the other, but they're all connected broadly. And it's been going on for so long that the police, apparently they put up loads of CCTV cameras, because they've got the new modern surveillance stuff, haven't they? They've got face recognition and stuff. But when they put up cameras in these certain estates where they know it's like more or less lawless, the criminals just get angle grinders and just cut them down at night, and no one ever dobs them in. I didn't see anything. I don't know. Because they're scared. They're intimidated. The gangs just cut the CCTV cameras down. So the police put in what they were calling Belfast Towers. Anyway, just slightly more armoured, slightly more robust versions of, like, CCTV cameras. So apparently the gangs just will steal a car or a van or whatever and ram them into that to destroy that. So the police then put those big concrete bollards, big concrete blocks around these Belfast towers in order to try and capture the criminals on camera. It's all a bit much, isn't it? I mean, it sounds necessary. I'm not saying it, like, the cops shouldn't do this, but it does sound pretty lawless, doesn't it? I mean, Swindon's a bit of a crap, lame town. It's nowhere near that. Nowhere near that. That sounds really, really bad. And in certain estates, certain parts of Middlesbrough, just completely lawless. Really. They just do whatever they want. It's all fueled by drugs, apparently. The drug trade. Well, okay, so there's all that said. The local MP came out and he said, we need more youth centres. Yeah. He actually did it. He actually said the meme. He actually went with that. We need more funding for the police and we need youth centres. Yeah, youth centres. There shall be a youth centre in every ward, he declared. Oh, that'll fix it. Yeah, I'm sure that'll fix it. Not massive unemployment. Not a general malaise in society, which makes people feel despair, hopelessness and despair. Not that, youth centres. If there were a youth centre in every ward in Middlesbrough, this wouldn't be happening, he argues. Nonsense. Nonsense. They just commit crime in and around that youth centre. That's what happens. Like in some of the worst bits in London, they'll put in a youth centre because, like, black gang crime is so bad in some places in London. Well, what happens? Well, you end up with a bit of footage where two black teenagers are chasing each other around the pool table in the youth centre trying to stab each other. A youth centre doesn't fix this. Doesn't come close to fixing it. There could be a gang war in the youth centre. The youth centre doesn't fix anything. Oh, if only they had a pool table, these young men wouldn't be violent and have despair in their heart. Only they had access to a pool table and a ping pong table. Let's throw ping pong tables at the problem. Nonsense, isn't it? Nonsense. But they won't address the real issues. No? The sinking economy, the changing demographic, all those things. No. You need a youth centre, that will sort it out. It's just contemptible nonsense. All right, I can't be too long today. So let's just move on at this point to... On this day in history, you guys like that bit, seem to like that bit. I quite like doing that bit. I enjoy that bit. Where we, on this show, on the Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo, Bo's Breakfast Club, don't you forget about me. We like to look at what happened down through the centuries, nay, the millennia, on this day in history of note. Let's have a look-see. What have we got? August the 31st. On this day in history, in 1142, the possible date of the establishment of the Iroquois League. Other dates, possible dates are possible. The Iroquois League. My people, the Iroquois. What am I talking about? I did my DNA, didn't I? I did Living DNA and Ancestry.com. One of them, I can't remember which one, I think Living DNA showed that I was 100% European. And of that, 89%, 90-odd% British, with a little bit of Scandinavian, a little bit of German. 1.8% Basque. Might just be noise in the DNA, but I may have a tiny amount of Basque in me, according to Living DNA. According to the other one, Ancestry.com, I might have a bit of Iroquois in me. Because my father's American, literally American, born and raised in Oregon, go Ducks. And the Dades have been over in the United States since like the 19th century, or even earlier, was it? Certainly since the 19th century. Major Francis Langhorne Dade, slight bit of notoriety down in Florida. It was an ancestor of mine. Oh, yeah, yeah. So anyway, on my father's side, been in the United States for a while, of European British descent originally, of course. There's always some suggestion in the family that I might have some Injun blood, a little bit of Elizabeth Warren, a little bit of Injun blood flowing through the old veins. Living DNA said, no, that's nonsense. Ancestry said, there's a tiny bit of Iroquois, which is modern-day Canada. The northeast of Canada, Iroquois Nation. And they're my people. By rights, I should really go to the Elysee Palace in France and demand reparations for French colonialism and oppression against my people. All right. Let's move on. On this day in 1854, a major breakout of cholera occurs in Soho, London. Physician John Snow calls it... That's John Snow. I was just saying it in that ginger bird's voice from Game of Thrones. You don't know nothing, John Snow. A physician, a real-life man called John Snow, calls it the most terrible outbreak of cholera which ever occurred in this kingdom. Yeah, cholera. Did that originally come from India? Did it originally come from the subcontinent or somewhere? I don't think it's indigenous to these islands, ultimately. Some of those things when they say, oh, Europeans brought all sorts of diseases to the other places in the world. Yeah. And we brought back those guys' diseases back to Europe. And millions of us died as well. That's completely a two-way street. You think it was just one way? It was just the Europeans brought diseases to the New World and other places. And that was a one-way street. No, that was a two-way street. Anyway, cholera. Ugh, to do with water, isn't it? Contaminated water. If you've got dead bodies in the water, it's more to it than that, but got dead bodies in the water, in the Thames or whatever, on the wells. And then, yeah, cholera as well. Dying from cholera is a horrible death as well. Particularly devastating way to die, I think. Okay, on this day in 1888, the body of Jack the Ripper's first victim, Mary Ann Nichols, is found in Whitechapel in London's East End. I'm fascinated by the Ripper murders. It's one of those things where it was one of the first things that I can remember from history that I became fascinated in very young as well. Must have been only 7 or 8 or 9. I had some little kiddies book that was about, I've mentioned this before, about mysteries. Things like the Mary Celeste, the JFK killing. One of them was Jack the Ripper. Scary, so scary, but even as a kid, fascinated by it. Back in the day when they let little kids just like watch 15 rated films and read about scary murders, even when you're really young. Yeah, the Ripper murders, absolutely fascinating. I've threatened to do a bit of long form content about the Ripper murders. I know that Devon Tracy, aka Atheism is Unstoppable, is fascinated in the Ripper murders. I would like to have a long-form conversation with him, maybe, or anyone, really, that knows the Ripper story inside out. I'd love to do a long-form bit of content. I will do it at some point. And, of course, being in the East End, not a million miles from where I grew up. I didn't grow up in the East End, in Whitechapel, but 15-odd miles, 20 miles away. Been through the East End and Whitechapel hundreds, thousands of times in my life. So, anyway, 1888. The Whitechapel murders. Fascinating stuff. Very, very, very deep rabbit hole if you're so interested. Okay, on this day in 1917, Sun Yat-sen and his supporters' rump parliament establish a military government in Guangzhou, China, and elect him Generalissimo, General of Generals. Yeah, Sun Yat-sen, fascinating. Talked about him before, haven't I? On my own channel, on History Bro there. I got a long-form content talking all about Mao. Harry, flip back. all about the life of Mao Zedong, and I go into like the 19th century, go back to the 19th century. Sun Yat-sen comes up, he's like the warlord, the early warlord. But like Chiang Kai-shek before Chiang Kai-shek. Fascinating person, Sun Yat-sen. Okay, massively deep rabbit hole, that on its all on its own, his life and adventures. Haven't got time for it on this show at the moment. On this day, 1945, the Liberal Party of Australia is founded by Robert Menzies. Don't know a great deal about that. Can't tell you a great deal about that, I'm afraid. We'll have to move on. On this day, 1957, the Federation of Malaya gains independence from Great Britain. Yeah. Talked all about on State of Politics. State of Politics. The channel I got with Nate. I've been doing a mini-series all about post-war British politics. You go through to the 1950s. All through the 50s, where Churchill came back. Churchill came back in 1951. Then after him, got Anthony Eden for a while, and then after him, Macmillan. And the Malaya crisis played out. Again, a very long, the SAS involved in it. The SAS, all sorts of involved. Another deep rabbit hole, if you're so interested in that. They finally get their independence in 57. Was trying to not let them fall to the communists. Bit like, similar argument to the domino theory in Vietnam, in French Indochina. We, the democracies of the world, need to sort of stop the seemingly relentless fall of Asian, Southeast Asian countries to communism. Well, large, sort of worked in Malaysia, sort of. Long story. All right. On this day, 1994, the Provisional Irish Republican Army, Sinn Féin. That was a bad accent, wasn't it? Sinn Féin declares a ceasefire in Northern Ireland. Who knew really that Sinn Féin were open border communists? Thought they're supposed to be nationalists. Nope. Largely open border communists. Gerry Adams kept that quiet, didn't he? Gerry Adams kept that quiet. All right, and on this day, 1997, Diana, Princess of Wales, dies in a car crash in a road tunnel in Paris. La didi. I remember when that happened. It was such a shock. The world seemed so much more simple, even in 1997. Not long after Blair got in, actually. Although the Princess of Hearts, didn't he? She's going out with Dodi Al-Fayed, Mohammed Al-Fayed's son. There's all sorts of conspiracy theories around it, but it does seem that the driver of their Merc, it was in Mercedes, wasn't it? He was just extremely drunk. He was extremely drunk and driving really, really fast to get away from paparazzi. Lost control in a tunnel. Hit the wall, hit a bollard in the middle, not a bollard, a concrete pillar thing. I remember how shocked people were. So shocked that Diana was dead. One morning you wake up, Diana's dead. What? It can't be. Not Diana. It'd be like waking up now and like Prince William is dead. He was killed in a car crash. You'd be like, oh, whoa. Or, well, anyway. Yeah, the shock was mad. We wouldn't have something like that now. Even if say that happens, Prince William, I doubt there would be the shock that there was in 1997 and the sort of the outpouring of emotion and sympathy. Like the whole country sort of went into mourning. It was weird. I mean, I get it. I say weird, but I get it. I just weird in the sense that I've never known anything like it before or since. I mean, not even close to anything like it. Like when the Queen died, obviously it's different when it's an accident and she's young. It's not the same as a really old lady in her 90s dying. But even when the Queen died, people were like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's bad, yeah, oh well. When Diana died, people were like, it was like someone in your own family was killed in a car crash, almost, not quite. I'm exaggerating that a bit, but anyone who lived through it knows what I'm talking about. Anyone who lived through it will know what I mean. All right, anyway, let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Will Global Church History be in at number one on the Rumble Rants? Let's have a look. Will it be a good day? Yes, he is in there. Global Church History, super fan of the show. That's his real name, by the way. His family name, his surname, it is history. And his mum and dad decided to christen him Global with the middle name of Church. That's what's on his birth certificate and his national insurance and everything. He gets a letter asking him to do jury service. It's addressed to Mr. Global Church History. I'm joking, of course. That's not his real name. All right. What has he said today? He usually gives a couple of factoids. He says, I'm recording the BBC interview on the 3rd. Oh, yeah, you talked about that last time. Good luck with that. Bloody good luck with that. Brilliant. So he's recording a BBC interview on the 3rd of September, I imagine. But it goes up on the 13th. Okay. Let us know how that goes. Even put a link to it or whatever after it happens or when there is a link to it. With repeats a few days later. With repeats for a few days, you say. Okay. Let us know, like, tomorrow or something. Let us know, or later now, what show it's on. What is it? BBC Interview. Is it BBC Radio? Or is it actually on TV? Let us know. Let us know so we can tune in. We can see it. We can lend you support and everything. Okay, the two factoids today. You say, today in 1302 AD, War of Vespers ends with Barcelona taking Sicily. Yeah, recently, really recently, in the last like couple of weeks, I did a long-form bit of content on my own history show, Bodade's Epochs, which is my own history-themed show behind the paywall on lotuseaters.com. Do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month's bronze tier membership. Hundreds of hours of history-themed content. A couple of weeks ago, I did a long-form conversation with Metatron. And in fact, that's a freemium, so you don't even have to pay the £5 a month. It's entirely there for free. Well, an hour and a half, or is it more, of me and Metatron, a Sicilian man, born and raised Sicilian, me and him talking about the history of Sicily, going back to pre-modern, going back to the ancient world, going back to, like, before the Greeks were on that island. And all the way through, it is a bit of a whistle-stop tour, but going all the way through to World War II. With the Mafia and General Patton and Monty racing to liberate the island from the Nazis and the Italian fascists. And we talk about that there briefly. Did you know that Global Church History? Have you given us that reference because you saw that bit of content or watched that bit of content? Or is it pure coincidence? We talk about the War of the Vespers. Vespers is sort of evening prayer, isn't it? Late afternoon, early evening prayer. That's what the Vespers are. And this one time in 1302, Sicily was being controlled by the French at that point. So apparently some French soldier did something to some Sicilian woman. I don't remember exactly what it was. Some sort of outrage. I don't know if it was a sexual assault or a murder. I can't remember. Something. And the people of Sicily, that was the final straw. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. In the early 14th century. And they rose up and it turned into a riot, which turned to a full-blown rebellion across the whole island. And loads of French people, the French garrison on Sicily, were all sort of murdered and stuff. And the upshot is, well, it turned into a whole war. War of the Vespers. Because it started at a church where there was the Vespers was happening, the evening prayers. That's why it's called that. And the upshot is, foreign control of Sicily passed from the French to the Spanish, effectively. It's kind of... There's way more to it than that. Another rabbit hole if you're interested. Okay, and the second factoid you've got here is on this day in 1422, King Henry V died, age 35. One of the longest series I've got on my history theme show, Epochs, is about the life of Henry V. I can't remember how many episodes was it, Harry? 13, 15?
Yeah, it was quite a few.
I think it's maybe the second longest series I've done. One on Julius Caesar was the longest one, pretty sure. One on Magellan was very long. Maybe second or third longest one. I did all about Henry V. So tons and tons of detail. I mean, quite literally an audiobook level length. Loads and loads of detail about the relatively short reign of Henry V. Life and Henry V. Life and reign of Henry V. It was on this day, was it, that he died of natural causes, probably dysentery. They called it things like the bloody flux. Almost certainly dysentery. Because, you know, dysentery doesn't care what rank you hold. Doesn't care if you've been anointed in a cathedral or not. All it knows is that it can attack your guts And it does. And he couldn't fight it off, even though he was young and relatively fit. 35. Couldn't fight it off. That's it. That's what happened in the pre-modern age. If you couldn't fight it off, you die. And that's what happened. He was only a couple of months shy of becoming King of France. He'd already won the battles. He was waiting for the old king, the old mad king of France, to die. And then he was the heir, and he would have been king of England and France at the same time. If only he'd lived another couple of months. 2 or 3 months. But he didn't. And the crown of England, at least, and nominally the crown of France, had to pass to his son. A little baby, literally 9, 10-month-old baby, Henry VI, who grew up to be mad and lost everything because he wasn't a strong king. The Wars of the Roses, in the end, got him his head smashed in by his political rivals in the Tower of London because he was too weak. How different history might have been if Henry V just simply didn't die of dysentery at that point. If he'd lived to be 60 or 65. How different the whole course of European history, certainly the history of England and France, would have been. Who knows? It's one of those things in history, like, had Alexander lived to be a grand old age, how different world history would be. Them's the breaks. All right. Thanks for that global church history. What else have we got here? The next one, GWFSFF says, went to a wedding once and Eamon Holmes was a guest. Had a good drink with him and he was a good crack, even if he objected to the ceremony, shat on the cake and stole the bride's virginity. Poor old Eamon Holmes. Of course we know Eamon Holmes didn't do any of those things. Poor, completely innocent Eamon Holmes. As we said earlier, that's the in-joke on this show. We're accusing Eamon Holmes of things he obviously didn't do. As a callback to the time I accidentally confused him with Hugh Edwards. All joking aside, get well soon, Ames. Right, Fallen Firebird says, and this is a quote, someone saying something in inverted commas. Sorry, Mr. Prince Harry, we can't afford your security. We have 10,000 more foreign migrant beast men invaders to sustain and prepare to demographically replace us, end quote. Yeah. Our police and security services are crazily overstretched already. There are tens of thousands of known jihadists in this country that we basically just don't monitor in any way because we can't. We haven't got the resources, time, money and manpower. But we need more for Harry, do we? Do we? When he's capable of paying for it himself. His family, certainly, and friends, Elton John. His friends and family are certainly capable of paying for it themselves. He wants a taxpayer to pay for it. Cheeky SOB. Gross. Okay, the next one is also Fallen Firebird, who says, also, Bo, I'm at the stage where I think I need to start shaving my head, but I'm too much of a coward to take the plunge. Please, my captain, imbue me with strength. Oh, captain, my captain. What I would do is start with just a really short haircut. You don't have to go bonehead straight away. Just start with like a number 4 or a number 5 skinhead. So it's still, you've still got hair. You've still got a haircut. Or even a bit longer than that. Just go in the barbers and ask for like a really, really short back and sides or whatever. Just get a short haircut first. You don't have to go straight to the cue ball. And live with that for a few months. Let all your friends and family, people that know you, your workplace, let them get used to the idea that your person has a very, very short haircut now. Then, increments. Then one day, go for like a number 3, number 4 skinhead. So it's a bit longer than this, fair bit longer than this. Again, you've still basically got hair. And then, once you're comfortable with it, once you realise that it's fine, once you realise you're still the same person, once you realise nobody really cares one way or another, and they're used to it, then you can maybe think about doing the full bonehead. The thing you'll realise is that nothing really changes. You might think, oh, like all my, a bit of my personality, my identity is wrapped up in like my haircut. And then you realise, wait a minute, no, it's not actually. I'm the same person. The only possible downside to it is that some women don't like it. Like some women wouldn't date a dude that's bald or got a bonehead. But also, in my experience, they're actually quite rare. Most women don't care. Most women don't care at all. Some do, and we'll openly say no. He's got to be 6'3". He's got to have a full head of hair, and he's got to earn £1 million a year minimum. Some women are like that, right? Most of them aren't. The vast majority aren't. If you're interesting and funny and kind, that makes up for having a bonehead many times over. Don't worry about it. Increments, increments. You'll get there. And you'll be at ease with yourself as well. Because there's that thing where you try to cover up, pretend you're not going bald. Try and cover it up. Think about, I might go to Turkey for some surgery or whatever. Just shave it off. Come to terms with it. Fine. It is. All right. Next one. Oh, Global Church History again says, oh, so you have done what I asked. You've given us more information about it. It says, the interview should be on Celebration on BBC Radio Wales, airing at 7:33, I guess, a.m. and again at 29 minutes past 7 in the afternoon. Could be on the 6th of September or the 13th of September, but probably the latter. Okay, there we go. Very early in the morning and in the early evening on BBC Radio Wales. There you go. Anyone wants to tune in to hear the dulcet tones, the real voice of Global Church History? I assume you're talking about history or church history, perhaps even global church history. Okay, I take it you'll probably be talking about ecclesiastical history on some level. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not. Again, let us know. Okay, cool. Good stuff. Go Global Church History. You're my boy, Global Church History. Go get them. Okay. And the last rumble rant here this morning is from For T and Barber, who says, morning, mate. All right? Yeah, I'm all right. You're all right. I hope you are. I hope you are. Super fan For T and Barber. Love it. He says, good morning, mate. You're all right. Alex Palau, once again, IndyCar champion. Oh, I haven't watched any IndyCar in a couple of years. Oh, probably a bit more, actually. I used to watch IndyCar a fair bit. You remember there was a year when Fernando Alonso was in the Indy 500. He didn't do a whole season, but he did the Indy 500. And he was leading it near towards the end as well, but in the end it came to nothing. I remember if he crashed out, he had a mechanical failure, he didn't win. That was the last year I stopped paying attention to IndyCar. That's got to be 3 or 4 years ago now, isn't it? Maybe more. Anyway, you're saying Alex Palau is the IndyCar champion. I reckon he'll overtake AJ Foyt as all-time champion. Oh, wait. My screen's gone a bit fuzzy there. Okay. Also, we won 2 out of 2, so Chelsea will win the league. Lol. Have a great one. Okay. I'm not sure what the Chelsea reference thing is. I haven't been paying attention to football season at all so far. When you say we, do you mean West Ham? Are you a West Ham fan? Or are you talking about Chelsea? Sorry, I don't know about that. But, okay, the IndyCar champion. Do you know what? If the IndyCar season's finished, I'll probably watch a video doing a highlight of the whole IndyCar season. I love that. That's the sort of video I'll sit down, watch, get popcorn. Yeah. Okay, thanks for letting me know. Another one's just ticked in from Fortier and Barber again. He says, I can't remember who was worried about losing their hair, but as a barber, I'd just like to say to the chap that hair doesn't make the man. And your hairless journey, you'll look smarter and smarter. Yeah. After a while, really quickly, almost immediately, you will realise, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm the same person. In my identity, in my personality, and what I am is really got nothing to do with my haircut. Yeah, don't worry about it. Relax. That's cool. Okay. And it can be quite smart as well, relatively smart. You know, trying to pretend you're not going bald and trying to do stuff people can see, it's not actually a good look. At least with a bonehead, a skinhead, at least it's sort of clean, right? It's nice and clean, squared away, smart. About the best you can hope for. Unless you want to go down the toupe route, and I don't advise that. Don't get a toupe. Okay, all right. Let's do that. That was the last rumble rant. Let's look at our super chats, the YouTube ones. Harry, you have to do that for me. Can you make it so? Engage. There they are. Brilliant. Okay. Oh, we've only got a few this morning. Something gone wrong? There's only four. Something wrong? What's happened? All right, here's what it is. Okay, Stu Sutton, 1977, sometimes in, sometimes first in, Stu. It changes a bit on the YouTube side. Different people sometimes are in first. Quite often, a few times it's been Stu Sutton. Got to respect the grind. Stu Sutton, 1977, says, Harry should hire Eamon Holmes. He's a badass. In all honesty, I'd have a conversation. I'd love to have a conversation with Eamon Holmes. Should he ever recover properly? He wouldn't. On GB News, he's like the good, squeaky, clean end of the spectrum on GB News, isn't he, Eamon Holmes? We're probably, although there's a fair crossover, isn't there, between GB News and us? Quite a lot of crossover, actually. I don't think Eamon Holmes would talk to me, but I would. If he ever got better, I would definitely love to do that. Interesting guy. He's met a lot of people, hasn't he? Interviewed a lot of people. Okay, next one is Sam Jones, our team, 6291, says, when I was young, about nine, I wrote Zulu on a videotape after receiving instead of Zulu. Oh, you spelt Zulu, Z-O-O-L-O-O, like the animal zoo, and the loo, like the toilet, Zulu. Instead of Zulu, Z-U-L-U, like the South African tribe Zulu. My parents couldn't stop laughing about it. Enjoy your day. That's fair enough if you've only heard it. Oh, you was only nine. That's a bit rough. You've only ever heard the word. You don't know how it's spelt. I remember first ever, again, I was probably that age, maybe a little younger, reading in the Radio Times that it was going to be a Grand Prix on the telly. I got laughed at. I'm like, what? I'm just reading what it says. Like, it's Grand Prix, it's pronounced Grand Prix, Grand Prix. Oh, I was only like eight or nine. Give me a break, come on. Sometimes families can be a bit harsh, can't they? All right, Kiefer Brown, 1337, says, Eamon Holmes founded NH Carnival amid jungle fever phase. Poor old Eamon Holmes, maligned left, right and centre on this show for things he didn't do. Next one's also from Kiefer Brown, 1337, who says, I've enjoyed today's episode of Balding with Bo. Yeah. Are you a young man, or any age man, and you're balding, you need a bit of a pep talk, come to your Uncle Bozy. He'll sort you out. He'll tell you how it is. Okay. Belgians are evil, trust me. That's their name. That's what they've decided to call themselves. At Belgians are evil, trust me, says, 146 years ago today, Queen Wilhelmina of Nelbourne, of the Netherlands. Queen Wilhelmina, is that the queen who was the old queen during World War II? Would that be right? Could those dates work out? I guess they might do, yeah. Is that queen? Where when Britain, well, and the United States, tried to liberate Holland from the Nazis, In autumn 1944, she was the queen in exile. Is that queen? I think it might be. Do you reckon on LotusCities.com behind the paywall, I've got long form content, like a 5-part series? I think it's a 5-part series talking all about Operation Market Garden and the Allies' attempt, ultimately failed attempt, to wrest the Holland, the Netherlands, off of the Nazis in like what, October? Is it September? October 1944, Operation Market Garden. They made the film A Bridge Too Far, didn't they? Dickie Attenborough, star studded cast, from Michael Caine to Sean Connery. Loads and loads of famous people, an incredible cast. Do you think I've got long form content talking about the real history based on Cornelius Ryan's brilliant book, A Bridge Too Far? Fair few hours. It's got to be 6, 7, 8 hours worth of content there just on Market Garden. Oh, yeah, it's there. Oh, yeah, it's there. If that, I think that's the same one. Queen Wilhelmina. She was the Queen of the Netherlands at the time. Very interesting. Belgians are evil, trust me. Very interesting. I didn't expect that coming. I didn't expect that one to be in the comments today. Okay, penultimate one here. We've got Tatum2733 says, when I rule the world, you'll have hair or else. I've got to have hair. Tatum says. I guess it's too late for Rogaine or anything like that, isn't it? Even probably surgery, far too late. This is a little island now. A little Alan Shearer island of hair. It'd have to be a wig. You're going to, when Tatum rules the world, I'm going to have a wig. Well, at least I can prepare myself mentally for that when that happens. Okay, and the last one here today is from Belgians Evil Trust Me Again, who says, still don't have names stroke faces of Henry Novak's cops. Right, yeah. And atrocious girl boss cop who assaulted white victim Cody Harper in Birmingham. We must humiliate them, says Belgians Are Evil, trust me. I mean, because of T's and C's and even law in this country, can't really agree with the very last sentiment there. But it would be nice, wouldn't it? And just T's and C's. But it would be nice, wouldn't it? It'd be better if we did know who they were. We shall see. I believe the Henry Novak, there's an internal investigation with the police, which will decide whether it will go to court or not. I believe that's all still ongoing. So, taking their sweet time about it a bit, aren't they? Obviously not busting to get to a conclusion. Okay, and there is one more that's come in, and little Harry's flagged this up to me because it's for a relatively large amount. So thanks for that very generous large amount. It's just come in from Cunningham Bear 76. Says, hello from Canada, love the show. Oh, thank you. That's a nice positive one to end the show on. Relatively generous, a very generous amount of money there. Thank you for that. Hello from Canada, love the show. Oh, thank you. Thank you, guys. Without you, this show isn't a thing. Without you guys, it's nothing. It's just me be sitting in front of a dead camera talking into the void. You've got great taste. Tuning in live to the Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo. You've got great taste. Thank you. You're the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. It's really heartwarming. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Okay, that is the show. It is now 17 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on August Bank Holiday, Monday the 31st of August in the year of our Lord 2026. Try and make the best of the day ahead, you know. Carpe diem, seize the day if you can. I know it's not always easy. When you've got a job and kids and all sorts of things, you don't get to spend your time just how you would like to. But if you are lucky enough to be in a position where you can spend today doing whatever you see fit, consider my suggestion of try and do something valuable with the time, whatever that means to you. Try and make it count. Don't just waste it, you know. Don't just waste it sleeping or playing some crappy computer game you've already completed or something. Try and do something valuable with it. Why do I say that? Well, because your time is valuable. You've got a finite amount of it. It's a horrible realization, isn't it? But your days on this earth are finite. They are finite. Especially when you're young, you think you've got endless time. You've got endless days. I don't have to do any. I don't have to push the envelope and do something valuable with my time. I've got endless days. I do whatever I want. No, you haven't. It's probably later than you think. The most valuable thing you will ever have is your time. Far more valuable by orders of magnitude than any gold or silver or gems or cars or houses you might own. You can't take any of that with you. You've got a finite number of days on this earth. Try and make them count if you can. All right, I'm not going to get too preachy about it. I'm not going to tell you what you must or mustn't do. But just be aware. The time is limited. Try and make it count if you can. All right, then. Until tomorrow morning.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.